Good morning. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. Please follow along as I read and hear the word of the Lord. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, we worship you, we come before you, we sing loud songs in praise to you, and then we bow down in silence to pray to you. We ask, Father, that you would intervene in every part of our lives because we are desperate and needy for you. Change us from the inside out. Convict us of sin. Open up our hearts, Father, to hear your words this morning, that we might repent and love you more. Father, we lift up this church body. We pray not only, Father, that you would encourage our hearts this morning, but I pray that the people would pray for each other, that we would pray for the people as a whole and the congregation, that you would work mightily through Ventura Baptist Church for your glory, and that, Father, we might bring you the honor and the praise. Father, this morning we lift up Harriet Decker. We pray, Father, that you would continue to draw her heart closer to you as she is shut in, Father, not able to gather with the body. We pray, Father, that you would give her strength in her weaknesses, and that each and every day she would grow to know the love and the joy of the Father more and more, and that she would just be a good witness to those whom she is around. Bless her, Father, immensely with every spiritual blessing. Father, for churches in our area, we pray that the gospel would continue to be preached. And specifically this morning, Father, I pray for Harbor Church that you would be with Pastor Mark Chansky, our faithful brother and friend in the gospel, that you would encourage him to preach with boldness and with zeal, and that the people at Harbor Church would hear and they would be convicted and drawn to love you more and more. I pray that you would immensely bless that people and continue, Father, to work in their midst, that they would even continue in their outreach to continue to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, strengthen their hearts, meet their every need financially, meet their every need spiritually, and encourage them to keep on in the faith. And Father, for global gospel outreach, we think of our kingdom representative, Father. In another part of the world, we lift up Jill Henry. Father, encourage her. Increase her faith daily to know that you are right next to her and beside her. Allow her, Father, to continue to put her trust and faith in you and to continue the work, the good work to which you have called her. And that, Father, she would know we are with her in thought and in prayer. Father, be honored and glorified in working through your people. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We read in Genesis 1 that God created the heavens and the earth, and that the earth was void and without form. The essence or the idea that's carried out is that it was chaos. The world was in chaos, And each day as passed, God spoke with his powerful words. And God set boundaries to the oceans. They could only reach a certain limit. He set limits for the firmament. He set regulations and patterns for the stars and the planets. And with every limit and boundary and regulation that God spoke into existence, chaos was made into order. And it was beautiful. And God said, it is good. And on the sixth day of creation, God instituted man, his representative, to be a ruler over the earth, to subdue it, to reign over it. God established positions of authority in order to keep order going in this chaotic world. And we can see even from our text this morning, to have government, to submit to government is good. It is by God's design, and this is his doing in order to keep us looking forward to order and not chaos. But the problem is, that we read right away in Genesis chapter 3, is that man sinned. And in so by doing, God's ruler, God's representative on earth fell back into chaos. In so doing, incurring God's wrath and the judgment and the curse of sin upon every single person who follows in line after Adam and Eve, you and I are prone to run back to chaos. We don't like limits. We don't like regulations in our lives. We don't like people telling us what we can do or what we can't do. We don't like authority in our lives. And so you and I, by fault, run back to chaos and think that that is good, when God all along is trying to point us to the beauty and the glorious order that he is creating. Because of the fall, this world was cursed. And now God says, I am going to be doing all things new. There will be a new creation. And I will bring a new order to this chaos. And we find the fulfillment of that order in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has done it. And because of Christ, he is bringing once again order to our chaotic lives and our sinful hearts, in order that we might live truly in peace and see the goodness of God for all eternity. Now, my question for you this morning is, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ and you have not put your faith and your trust in him, if you haven't asked him into your heart, and it's simply an idea, a good thing to live by, to think of Jesus every once in a while, but to not truly honor him and love him with your whole being, then you're still destined for chaos. Turn to the Lord and seek him. Ask him into your heart. Ask him for the forgiveness of your sins, and that you might live for him and for his glory, because what he can do is he can bring order to your chaos. And he does so because he is the ultimate authority. Whether we regard that as true or not, one day we will all meet him. And it says that every knee, whether believing or an unbeliever, every knee will bow before the Lord. And they will confess with their tongues, you are God. And you've always been God, whether we've recognized it or not. My call to you this morning is that you would recognize it now. And that you would ask Christ into your heart to recognize he did it for me in my place. That punishment was mine. But the amazing blood of Christ has cleansed me and purified me clean. And he has given me his righteousness. Now, as a righteous representative, I can walk in the steps of my Lord, obeying his authority over all and the authorities and institutions that he has placed in over me in my life. If you're a believer this morning, I'd like to call your attention to think of yourself as a citizen of two kingdoms. We are not only citizens of the kingdom of God, citizens under Christ, thinking one day we will reside with him forever in all eternity. That's my true authority, and I want to be a citizen of that kingdom. But you also recognize we're not there yet. We still live and reside in the land that we're in right now, and it doesn't matter if you're a citizen of the United States or if this is being heard of around the world, you know, for other nations, you are a citizen under the land in which you dwell. And if you are so, you are a citizen of two kingdoms. And God has commissioned us to live as God's servants, showing honor and respect to the authorities over us. As a citizen of two kingdoms, how are we to live as God's servants, showing honor and respect to our authorities? First of all, by resting in God's authority. We have to rest in God's authority. If we're not resting in God's authority, how are we ever expected to truly honor and respect any other authority? It says right away in Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, not only are we to be subject to the governing authorities, but we recognize that these authorities and institutions were created by God. And what God is trying to do is he is trying to do something good for us in bringing order out of chaos. Can you just even take a moment to think about what our society or what our culture would be like without government? Chaos. Without having an institution or law enforcement to make sure that we're keeping crime at bay, punishment upon those who do wicked. Literally, it's a deterrent to the evil, is it not? That we would recognize that law enforcement and government is instituted so that if one was to commit such a crime, they would think twice, because not only could they get caught, if they get caught, they will be punished by the governing authorities in our society. So therefore, we recognize, oh, it's definitely good for us, but one thing we often do is we think about all the other people out there. It's good because it keeps them at bay. What about the believer, you and me? If you think it's hard now with the temptations and the struggles that exist in your life, imagine if there was no authority or government. How much greater the temptations would be for us to sin, for us to take a little step further, to go on further into what we know we ought not to do. God has instituted government and authority as a means of grace for even you and I to think not only about criminals, but to think of ourselves and how I am prone to chaos. That's what I want in my heart left to myself. But God is working something new, a new creation, a new order that is being brought in. And this is good. And God has instituted the positions of authority over us for our good. And he will punish wickedness. It says that the government has the ability to wield the sword, to bear the sword. And he does not bear it in vain. All the commentaries I read brought to light that this is undoubtedly talking about capital punishment. But even if you think about the severity of punishments, knowing that the government was instituted by God and has the ability to do that, God said it was good that a government should bear the sword, that a government should take vengeance out on those who do unjustly in the land. God instituted the positions of authority over us. A couple of examples that come to mind when we think about what the world could look like or what the world would look like without having a governing authority over us, we can look at examples right here in Scripture. You guys remember the story in the books of Judges of how the people consistently over and over were bent on sin and ran into sin, and soon they were oppressed by foreign powers. They rejected God as their king. They said, we don't want God as our king. We want to have a human king like all the other nations around us. Why do they have that, God, and we don't? And so as rejecting God as king, they began to run into sin, and then they were quickly suppressed and oppressed by foreign powers. Eventually, towards the end of the book of Judges, civil war breaks out, and the tribe of Benjamin is almost wiped out, and the people went home satisfied, thinking they had done well. The last verse of the book of Judges says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's you and me without authority. In Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We're bent to chaos. We're prone to cast off any form of authority in our lives. We want to be our own masters of our fate. We want to be the captains of our soul, as Henley stated in his poem. No, may the Lord, may we see that the Lord has done good in instituting positions of authority over us, and that God appointed people to fill those positions. Maybe some of you in here this morning are thinking, okay, all right, I get it. I understand that having a position of authority is good for me in my life. Government is fine. Parents, pastors and church leaders, that's all fine. But what I don't like is I don't like the people who have filled those positions. See, I'm okay with the position, but I don't like the people who currently reside in that position. We're going to come back around to this full circle, but for the time being, I want simply to make this comment. Do not grieve God by rebelling against the establishment of his will and having authority over you in your life. And we're going to talk about some questions regarding what if there's sin involved in the leader's life, in our authority's life. What if there's sin present? We're going to get to that. But at this point, God appointed the people to fill those positions. And that's something that's hard to cope with right now, to think, is it true that even for the sinful men in authority and positions that God is the one who's appointed them? If you read Chronicles or 1 and 2 Kings, oh my. You will note how many times kings and rulers over Israel or over Judah were wicked men who rebelled against God and wanted nothing to do with him. Was God still in charge at that point? Yes, he was. And God does so for his glory and for our good. So regardless of who is in the position of authority, we recognize God has a better plan. He has a plan for you and for your life. He has a plan for his glory, and it is good because he is creating order out of chaos, and he's demonstrating it to us by every single season and year of our life. He's showing us, I have something better in store, and I will bring order to the chaos in your hearts and the chaos in this life. Are we ready to rest in that sovereign control and will of God? Don't resist his authority. Don't resist that God is first and foremost the one who has called us to obey the authorities over us. That he is first and foremost the one who is orchestrating every event in our lives that he might receive glory for it. So, citizens of two kingdoms, live as God's servants, showing honor and respect to our authorities. First of all, by resting in God's authority. Secondly, by recognizing our resistance to authority. I don't know how much we think about this, but we are just naturally resistant to authority. I've already made brief comment on that. We don't want it. Paul Tripp, in his most recent parenting book, said it this way: to reject authority is to reject God, who is the authority over all authority, and rejection of God never has and never will go anywhere good. You see, the real issue here is that we all have a heart issue. And the heart issue is that we don't want to submit. We don't want to obey the rules, the commands. We don't want to accept the limits and the regulations that God has for us in our hearts. We want to cast off every form of rule, and we want to live as we see fit, making ourselves gods, replacing God in his position. And every time we start to be pointed out about our sin or have someone else point sin out in our lives, we start to cower, we start to shrink away. Hey, don't point to sin in my life, all right? Listen, I've got these other things going on. And we start to recognize there's something deeper than just our outward motives. There's a heart issue going on. And we need Christ first and foremost to save us from our sins. We need to confess, Lord, I don't want to submit to authority. I don't want to have limits and regulations in my life. Will you please take that from me? Will you please take that desire that I have to be in control? And will you be honored and glorified with humbling me and saying, yes, Lord, I submit to the ruler who died on the cross. And I submit to the fact that you have called me to live a life in submission to the rulers and authorities here on this earth. Because I know you're creating order out of chaos. But we excuse ourselves. We excuse ourselves so quickly because of sin. U.S. Army Major Richard Winters coined the phrase in the popular show Band of Brothers, you salute the rank, not the man. I thought this was fascinating. The idea is you respect the position that has been placed over you, whether you feel like the person in that position is worthy of it or not. You respect the position of God appointing authorities and governors over you, whether you think the people who fill them are worthy of your respect or not. See, God has done something bigger here and greater. We have little say over those who God has put and appointed as authorities in our lives. When I was born, I had absolutely no say in who my parents would be, or in the position that they had in authority over me. I had no say. I had no say in the government at the time when I was born, of who would be in the government or that position that he had established over me. But it says that God created it in the beginning, that he instituted man to be ruler and authority over creation, and that this idea of government is good for you and for me, that we need these things to draw us closer to God, to humble us, and to recognize that he is in control. What about those who have abused authority? What about those who have done wrong? What about those who have sinned? We recognize every last one of us is sinful. We've already talked about this earlier in the letter of Romans 3, that there is none righteous, no, not one. Are we waiting for the perfect, holy, sinless person to enter into government over us? No, that's impossible. We recognize that. Only one is truly worthy of our worship, we say. Only Christ is worthy to be our authority. And we say, yes, but Christ commanded that you obey the government. Your parents, your teachers, your elders, that you submit to them, that you respect them, that you honor them. Can I have all the kids? All the kids look up here real fast. I can see all the kids. God has commanded that you guys obey your parents to honor and respect them as an authority over you. That God's desire is that this is for your good, that you would grow in a relationship in recognizing God is my authority and he has put your parents in your life to help you and to aid you and to point you to him. Children, respect and love and honor your parents as authority over you. For the rest of us, it can come in difficult ways. And we might even have some excuses in thinking how you've been abused or hurt. I have to be sensitive because I know there are children present in the service. But with the whole hashtag MeToo movement and all kinds of things being raised up in news, it could very well be that some of you sitting in the seats here this morning have been severely abused or hurt by parents, by pastors, by government, by law enforcement. And if that is the case, I am sorry for you. And I am deeply moved to be praying for you. And you might ask, did God intend that too? Did God position that person in authority over my life to cause me pain? Let me say this. I cannot relate with your pain. I cannot sympathize with your struggle, but I know a Savior who can, and he knows what you've been through. And I would encourage you to know that even in showing honor and respect as God has commanded of us, that it can be done in a right way, even if it means taking those individuals to authorities and submitting them in for punishment.
There can be honor and respect shown in that too, because you have a greater vision and a greater goal, their salvation. And maybe they would be humbled enough by the point of seeing civil government bring punishment upon them that they would turn their hearts to Christ. Showing honor and respect does not necessarily mean hiding it and dealing with it in your own life. But talk to a brother or sister in Christ, even this morning, if that is you, I would encourage you to do so, to find freedom. Freedom, though we live in a sinful, fallen world, that God is bringing order to chaos. Find the peace in Him. So here's the concept, okay? I'm hitting this pretty hard. And I know, too, some of us might be thinking, well, what about government or authorities that call us to sin? Will we still have to obey then? And the answer clearly from the rest of Scriptures is no. If government calls us to sin, we cannot, in good conscience, continue on in sin, because God is the ultimate authority, right? But God has instituted these sub-authorities that we might honor and respect them as much as we are able to. But we're always casting an eye to the Lord, waiting for His gentle nod before we continue in submitting and honoring and respecting our government authorities. And He has still called us to. He has called us to submit. The command is to obey. Don't excuse yourself because the person you're supposed to obey in authority isn't a good person. Don't excuse yourself by saying there's sin in their lives. Do you know what they did? Did you read that article about them? No. I cannot, in good conscience, submit to that authority because of that. I'm sorry, but that's not what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures call us to respect our authorities. Even if it seems that those authorities have done gross sin or done us harm maybe in some way, we still ought to honor and respect the position that God has created. This is our outward expression of saying, I love God and He is first and foremost in my life. This is a side note. King David, it's a phenomenal story. Saul tries to kill King David. King David, before he's king, he still shows Saul honor and respect. As a matter of fact, David shows so much honor to Saul and respect that once King David becomes king and Saul is dead, there was this individual that had spoke falsely against Saul and done him dishonor. David went and had him killed. Because he spoke falsely against the Lord's anointed. That's how much David honored Saul, even though Saul tried to have him killed. Because David recognized you respect the position of authority, regardless of who fills it. And you give honor to God, because it is an outward expression of saying, I submit. I submit to you. And this is hard for you and I to deal with. Who is Paul writing to? He's writing to the Romans. This is around 57 AD. Do you know who's emperor of Rome at this time? Nero? Can you imagine the believers receiving this letter from Paul? Paul, are you kidding me? This guy is reckless. He doesn't desire anything good. Nero, his dad just died. He was poisoned a couple years earlier. Nero's mother, Agrippina, is striving for authority herself. Nero's going to have her poisoned soon. This guy is not worthy of our respect and our honor. Not to mention that only in a matter of a few years, the people reading this letter are going to be severely persecuted, punished, and even killed by the ruler Nero himself. Well, does this letter to the Romans become obsolete at that point? Just remove that section out of 13, because clearly, Paul wasn't intending for us to submit to this. My point in saying all of this, beloved believers at Ventura Baptist Church, my point in saying in all this is that, listen, our calling is to the high God of heaven, and He desires that we demonstrate our submissiveness to Him, our recognition that He is author of all things and the finisher of all things, by submitting to the rulers we now have in our country to those authorities that have been instituted to us in our lives, whether parents or teachers or pastors or law enforcers or government. We must be subject to what God has commanded us, and this is a good thing. Because submission to Christ is submission to the earthly authorities we have. So recognize our resistance to that authority. Recognize that we want to run back to chaos. That we think we know better than God. Live as God's servants, showing honor and respect to our authorities by resting in God's authority, by recognizing our resistance to that authority, and thirdly, by living as kingdom representatives. By living as kingdom representatives under authority. Paul tells us that the government bears the sword. If we want to not fear the government, then follow the law. That's what it says. Do good. Do what is good, and you will receive the government's approval. It's pretty simple. If you're really worried about getting a speeding ticket, go the speed limit. You won't have to worry about it. Down to a nutshell, if we continue to obey and submit to the government as we are able to, and I'm saying not if the government calls us to sin, but as far as we are able to obey and submit to the government, we have no fear. It's this clear conscience. It's this beauty and this understanding that I'm set free from having to worry. Because first and foremost, God has called me to a higher calling. And in that higher calling, he has asked me to submit to the authorities in this world. Therefore, I will do it. And I will find peace in my conscience. He even says that later on in verse 5. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Live above reproach. Don't let anyone cast the finger on you to say that you have erred in this way, or I have seen you cross over the boundaries and do falsely in that area. Don't let anyone have anything to say against you, but as far as you are able to, honor the Lord, submit to the rulers and authorities of this land so that you might live above reproach. And that people might say, praise the Lord, there is something greater at work in you. Even if the government should do us harm, I don't think I have to remind us all that God never promised us peace forever on earth while we were living here. We live in some pretty good times. I don't know if any of you know what's going on around the rest of the world. But we look at China, we look at India, we look at nations in South America and in Africa and in Europe. There is some intense persecution going on that makes this right here impossible for them. Or that if they do this right here, they know I could die this morning. I'm still going to the Lord's house to praise him. If it were to be for us, that authorities and governments would restrict our ability to gather together, will you still honor and respect the authorities? Will you still say, I disagree, I'm struggling, but God has commissioned me to honor you? What about with giving? With taxes? Now, this is the first thing brought up. He brings up taxes, he brings up revenue, and then he brings up honor, then he brings respect in. Let's go through these. Taxes. What are taxes? This is the means by which God has ordained that the government authorities would be able to do what they're able to do by us, by you and me, giving taxes. Should we not give taxes, not only are we not helping the benefits of our society, but we are also going against what God's mandate is for us. It's a clear command. Pay taxes to whom taxes are owed. Jesus says in the book of Matthew, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Which, by the way, Caesar had invaded Israel and conquered it and destroyed it. And Jesus is saying, give to him what's owed. Paul, who is a citizen of Rome by birthright, is still an Israelite. And his land was destroyed. And they give tribute to Rome. And Paul's telling the Roman believers, pay taxes. Pay taxes like you ought to. Another question for those Roman believers reading this book. Paul, we feel bad. Our country went over there and destroyed you guys, and you're paying tribute, and you're telling us to give to Caesar? That seems upside down, Paul says. Pay to Caesar what is owed to him, because this is what God has commanded, and it is good. There's so many life lessons in here that's going on, so many important principles that we could just read the Bible and fail to remember. Paul, a servant of the Lord, is commanding us to pay taxes to whom taxes are owed. And let me say this too. Paying taxes is an outward act, an outward visible sign of my willingness to submit to government. You can talk all you want all day about, yeah, how I respect my authorities. I'm above reproach. But if you're failing to give taxes, you're not doing that outward sign of contributing and saying, I do submit, even of my financial resources, to say, Lord, let your name be honored and glorified. Revenues. A revenue seems to depict the one who owes revenue to a servant or to an employee. Pay it up quickly. Show yourself to be above reproach. Again, let no one cast a finger on you to say, hey, you haven't been honorable in this, or you haven't been above reproach in this. No, instead, let all recommend us through our faith in Christ to say, that is a servant of the high God. They are above reproach. Praise the Lord for them. Because we ought to be a light in this dark world. And we ought to show the world that God is creating order out of chaos. Submit to the authorities and pay taxes as taxes are due. Pay revenues where revenues are due. I've often said this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, beloved. The church should be second to none in giving and showing honor. If there is ever an example in this world of people who have a giving heart and an honoring and a respectful heart, let it be the church. Let it be said that the church is the very pinnacle of God's love in showing that he is giving to one another and to the world, that the world might see that and go, wow, those people give and they give and they give. They show honor and respect even when government shows them harm, or even when others' authorities show them harm. They still give and they still respect. What's with this people? And we might say, all honor and praise and glory to our God. Not to us, but to his name belong the glory, because he is making order out of chaos. He is showing you something bigger than you and I can ever imagine or intend. His plan is set in motion. And he is doing it through you and through me in submitting to our earthly authorities and by obeying his will and in giving to them. We are also to show honor and respect to whom honor and respect is owed. And I think this just goes all the way back through. We see it even in the last couple sermons that Timothy preached. In Romans 12:10, it says, love another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Listen, be second best to none in showing honor and showing respect. Again, he says it in verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. I think that plays right in line just as well with thinking about what if government turns on the church? What if authorities become a snare to the church? Repay no one evil for evil. It even goes farther and says, bless them, as Timothy preached last Sunday. It's not just being above reproach and paying your taxes and thinking, well, I'm okay where I'm at. I'm not breaking any laws. No, it says to go beyond that in showing honor in paying taxes and respecting them. Here's a good one. Are you praying for your government? That's convicting for me. Am I saying, Lord, thank you for the institution you have set over us. May your name be glorified through them. And sometimes we can say, I have no idea how. But may your name be glorified through the Senate and through the House and through the presidency. May your name be praised. May they come to know you as their personal Savior.
And may they be kingdom representatives for your glory. Are we praying for them? That's showing great honor and respect and having an idea that we desire their greatest good. Show them honor and respect. How about this? How do we think and speak about our government? If I were to be a fly on the wall, is it just negative comments that you're talking about to other people regarding our government, the current presidency, or the times? Maybe it's with regard to next year's election and how it looks like our country's going, and all these slanders and words that come out that are not honoring or glorifying to God because they're not honoring to the government positions over us. We have to recognize, even in my thoughts and even in my words, I have to give ultimate respect to God, and He has commanded that I show honor to the government over me. This is hard. And it can be hard. I'm laughing because my sowers should know this very well, but as we're reading through the Pilgrim's Progress, it is often that the hard path is typically the right path that God desires us to go on. It's always the narrow path. It's always the difficult path that Christian has to walk in order to get to the celestial city. It's difficult. But we pray that God would be honored and glorified in our words to each other. Listen, is it okay to have differences? Absolutely. We can have differences regarding our authorities. But what's most important is, are we showing honor to them in how we speak about them and how we talk to others about them and what we post on social media about them? We have to take all of this into account. Listen, you and I are called to a higher calling. May God be honored and glorified with us, and may no one come to us and point their finger and saying, you are not above reproach. Believers grow in obedience to authority. This is something that's interesting. If it's often seen that if someone comes to know the Lord as their personal Savior, and they grow in their understanding of God and their love for God's Word, they oftentimes become more obedient and more submissive to authorities in their lives. They might even take on more authorities. Here's a great example. You, the church, you have, by God's grace, seen and respected the idea that God said, come to church, gather together, and submit to the elders in the church. You've taken on more authorities in your life because you recognize that it's for your ultimate good. But it's funny for unbelievers. It's a constant desire to cast off authority and to go the opposite way. As you grow in holiness, you're readily acceptable, accepting of God's authority in the positions in your life. Even on earthly positions, you say, I'll take more. I'll be servant to more. I'll submit to more because God is my authority and He is creating order in my life. But for the unbeliever, they're constantly trying to cast it off and in so doing, running more and more and more into chaos. So, believers, outdo one another and showing honor and respecting authorities in your lives, whether it is your parents, whether it is your church leaders, whether it is the government or teachers you might have. Take on the role of submissiveness. This is Christ's way. Philippians 2, He humbled Himself by becoming a man, became a servant to all, and He humbled Himself to the point of death. Yes, even death on the cross. This is the road to glory for Christ. And He has called you and I to do the same, to submit to our authorities, to submit to His rule and design all the way to the end. Because when we finally pass from this life into the next, what glory that will be to finally lay our eyes on Jesus, to see Him for the first time in our lives. Many of you have been believers for years and years and years. Some of us have only been believers for a newer amount of time. But can you imagine all of those years of faith finally being made sight? I can't wait. And it will be worth it all. It will be worth every second, every minute of every hour of every day, because this life will only be a blip on the timeline in comparison to all eternity with our Lord. And we will question ourselves probably at that time and think, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I do more? Honor the Lord by showing respect and honor to those whom he has put over you. Let me read 1 Peter 2:12 through 17 here. 1 Peter 2:12 through 17. Keep your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. I think that's a fascinating passage to read to a church. Not only is Paul saying it in Romans to respect and honor the emperor, you have Peter, another apostle, telling him to respect and honor the emperor, for this is the will of God. Peter, who will be crucified upside down. Paul, who will be executed. And both of them, till their dying breath, saying, let no one outdo you in showing honor. This is the will of God. So my challenge for you this morning, in closing, is that when we read a passage like this, we cannot simply skim over it, put a check mark by it, and go on. But we must recognize, even when the times are most difficult, we have a higher calling to our Lord. We are to submit to our authorities over us. And may I remind you, it is for our good. That is the part we must grasp. That is the part we must understand. It is for our good because Christ has come to make order out of chaos. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. And we thank you that you are doing something new. That we could put our trust in you, that we can put our rest in you, or find rest in you. Because you are heavily invested into our lives so much that you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And Father, I pray that we as a church body this morning would praise you and go home convicted and yet worshiping you at the same time. Father, if that's possible, to be convicted and yet worship at the same time because we know you are working in our hearts. And I pray, Father, that these words would not simply fade out, but that we would take heed to them and that we would give you the praise and the honor worthy of your name. We do pray for our government authorities. We pray for those who have been positions over us, Father. We pray that you would save them. We pray for the salvation of President Trump and his family, that they would be a gospel witness to those around them, Father. We pray for the salvation of the Congress and the House, that, Lord, you would set in place leaders in our communities and leaders in government positions that are God-fearing leaders who love you and worship you. And, Father, I pray that even if this should not be the case, and if the government turns its head against you and upon your people, that we will still praise your name. And that we, Father, would still submit to you as our ultimate authority and worship you regardless of the times, regardless of the trials, and that your name would be honored and praised. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's not a question of if, it's when. So hear these words. Now. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Amen.